Thank you. So the second reading is from Luke chapter 2, verse 1 to 14. So Steve is handing out Bible. If you don't have, please raise your hands. All right. So it's Luke chapter 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." Thank you.
Now, Crazy, before you sit down, can you just share with us, what does joy mean? What gives you joy? That's the question. What gives you joy?
Thank you, Pastor David. So what gives me joy? That's a very good question, first of all. So people who know me, actually my friends and my family, have always known me as a really happy, joyful person, happy-go-lucky person kind of thing. But I think it all started when I moved out of my home, my comfort zone, and moved to a new city for studies and college. It was a new place, new culture, new surrounding, and it was really, really, really hard to adapt. And I think that was my... If I look back, that was my lowest point where I couldn't trust anyone or, you know, be adapt. Or I think I was suffering with loneliness and stuff. I think that's when God taught me to depend on him, where your strength ends, his grace begins. And God, in several occasions and different situations, he taught how to depend on him on entirety. So when I started trusting God, I thought trusting in God means trusting that he will provide everything that is needed on this earth to live, and that is what God's faithfulness is to me. But again, I was wrong. So obviously he's going to provide for his children on this earth, but the greatest joy that he taught me was to know that he's not only faithful on this earth, but also faithful for eternity. And the joy, the fact that he's going to be there forever and ever and ever, and I'm going to live with him, was the greatest joy. So when even now when I face troubles, I mean, obviously the troubles never end, do they? So when I face troubles and face problems or stuck in a situation, I just think, really, is it really that big compared? It's nothing compared to the joyful thing that I'll be with my Lord forever, and that is joy. I mean, the problems I face is nothing compared to the joy that I'm going to have for eternity. So when people ask me, how can you be joyful or happy all the time, I try to tell Jesus. I only try. Thank you.
Thank you. Isn't that wonderful? I'm going to pray for us as we come to God's word that Praise's joy would be our joy. Let's pray. Father, as we look into your word now, we pray that the joy that so many people here have would be everyone's joy here this morning. And we pray that you would speak to us from your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to start with a little social experiment, all right? Never been done before, but we're going to try it here on this Christmas Day at Wente Anglican Church. You first heard about it here. I'm going to say a sentence, and I want you to finish the word, all right? And I want you to say it out loud together. The first word that comes into your head, okay? You know what to do? You ready? Okay. It's not too hard. Any answer is a good answer. Okay, here we go. Christmas is a time of... Ah, what did you hear in the room there? I heard happiness, I heard giving, but I mainly heard joy. I tried this out on my almost three-year-old, and he said, I said, Christmas is a time of, and he said, eating. Kids. But joy, isn't it? That's what we all think. Most of us think that Christmas is a time of joy. I mean, after all, we say, 'tis the season to be jolly. We say, Merry Christmas. And that guy in red goes around saying, ho, ho, ho. It's all about happiness and joy, isn't it? Of course, Christmas is a time of joy. You know, you look around and you see the Christmas lights. You go to the shops and you hear the Christmas music. You sit under the Christmas tree on Christmas morning, and there's so much excitement at that tree that's just loaded up with presents. My wife gets to use her special Christmas plates at this time of year. There's so much joy. It's so much merriment. We say it's the most wonderful time of the year, but do you know what? For many of us, Christmas can also be the worst time of the year. I was looking at one study and it said that half of us experience a significant amount of stress at this time of year. And you don't need to read a study to know that, right? You can just look around. You can know in your own life that you're already stressed, and around Christmas time, life just got busier. There's the end of year Christmas parties. There's the end of year events. There's things wrapping up for the year. There's kids' activities that are taking place. You're spending money that you don't have on gifts that people may or may not like. Today or the last few days, you might be bouncing from your parents' place to the in-laws' place to that relative in your family that no one is talking to. That's all taking place. Joy can feel seasonal. You know, joy can sometimes feel like happiness on steroids that just fades on Boxing Day. Is that how you feel? But I want us to go back to think about that very first Christmas and to think about the joy that was experienced on that occasion, because it was a time of great joy that lasted. So this morning what we're going to do is we're going to bask in the joy. We're going to enjoy the joy of the first Christmas. And we're going to do it by looking at that part of the Bible that was just read for us in Luke chapter 2. And we're going to find out and think about how we can have this joy ourselves. And so we're going to do this in three steps. We're going to first look at the reaction of joy in this passage, all right? And then next, what we'll do is we'll think, what was all the fuss about? Where did the joy come from? And then finally, we'll ask that question, can we have this joy? Okay? That's what we're doing. So first, let's just notice the reaction of joy, the joy that surrounded the birth of Jesus. In fact, do you realize that even before Jesus was born, there was joy going around? We read earlier in Luke chapter 1, verse 13, these words: your wife Elizabeth, this is an angel speaking, your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great before the Lord, and he will go before him to make ready for the Lord a people prepared for him. This is the angel speaking to Zechariah. Even before Jesus was born, there was joy. This angel promised the birth of another baby called John, who was a cause for joy. Why was John such a cause for joy? Because John was the guy who got to announce the arrival of Jesus Christ onto the stage of world history. Do you see, there was even joy surrounding the birth of Jesus' messenger. That's how much joy there was. And of course, when Jesus was born, there was greater joy. There's always joy around the time of the birth of a baby, isn't there? Whenever a child is born, the cameras come out, the photos get uploaded, the likes and the love hearts get clicked on. Facebook goes into meltdown because of all the joy that's surrounding the birth of a child. But do you know, when Jesus Christ was born, the heavens opened up and one angel appeared to some terrified shepherds. And then a whole host of angels appeared. And we read these words in Luke chapter 2, verse 13. Oh, there it is. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." Do you see, there's a whole company of angels, which means thousands upon thousands upon thousands. Can you picture the scene? Can you picture? That's why they're called an army, because there's so many of them. What are they doing? They're praising God. They're singing. It would have been deafening. It would have been frightening. But there's the birth of Jesus, and the heavens put on the best hallelujah chorus that you've never seen. That's what's taking place. There's joy. Can you imagine those poor shepherds terrified? But for them, their fear turns into joy when we read in verse 15, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And then we read, the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Oh, do you see what happens? They hurry off. Can you imagine them scampering off? They're so excited and they see this event for themselves. And what happens? They return home and what are they doing? They're praising. They're thanking. They're glorifying God. Do you think they had joy? Of course they did. You know, C.S. Lewis wrote once that once in our world, a stable had something in it that was bigger than our whole world. I think the shepherds knew that, don't you? Of course they knew that. See, the first Christmas was a great time of great joy. And this joy was all centered around this baby Jesus. The joy, do you see? The joy at Christmas is all about Jesus. You know, for the last 200 years or so, there's been a trend in our society. We've been decluttering Christmas. People want to have Christmas without Christ. People want to have the packaging without the present. People want to have the kingdom without the king. We want to have joy without Jesus. And I'm telling you, it's just not possible. The joy is because of Jesus. That's why we're here. That's why we celebrate. And could it be this morning that you're someone who's looking for joy without Jesus? Are you running away from Jesus? Are you avoiding him? Because the joy is actually centered upon him. And he's the only one who can give us this joy. Okay? So that's the joy. Let's think about what was the fuss all about? We've seen the reaction from heaven. Now let's listen to the reaction from heaven. Let's hear afresh the words that angel said on that very first Christmas. Why was it such a time of joy? Well, we read these words, verse 10. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." It's joy because it's good news. You know, good news always brings joy, doesn't it? Whenever someone has good news to share, it's always a cause for great joy. Whenever someone says, "I got a promotion," or I just had a baby," or "I just won $1 million," what do? You have joy, you celebrate, you rejoice. Great joy always follows good news, and it's exactly the same here. And the great joy followed the good news. So if we want to have the joy this morning, we've got to understand the good news. And the good news is firstly about a Savior. His good news, it's good news because it's all about a Savior. That's what his name Jesus means, by the way, Jesus. You know what that name means? God saves. God saves. And boy, do we need saving. We really do need saving. We need saving from ourselves, saving from our sin. You know that three-letter word, S-I-N? Small word, but big problem. That word means that right to the core, you and I are perversely self-centered people. That's what that word means. That we're so self-centered, we're so self-serving that it even means that we actually turn our back on our Creator and we actively rebel against Him. That's what sin is. If sin were the color red, then everything you say, think, or do would have a tinge of red in it. You know, you gossip about someone, red. You lie about someone or something, red. Even when you're nice to people, tinge of red in it. Helping people, tinge of red in it. That's how self-centered we are. But see, Jesus Christ, birthed in Bethlehem, killed in Jerusalem to save us from our sin. He was born to die in order that the judgment of God would fall on him so that it would not fall upon us. That's why he's called a Savior. And we need a Savior. Friends, this is good news of great joy, because you know what this means? This means that no matter what you've done, you can be saved from it. No matter how bad it is or how bad you think it is, you can be forgiven from it. You've never gone too far. You can always be forgiven because of this Savior. Now there's a way out. Friends, this is not one of those gifts that you don't need, like more socks at Christmas time, right? It's not like that. No, this gift is essential. You need this. Because of your sin, you will perish, but because of the Savior, you can flourish. That's what this means. I love how George Whitefield, the preacher, put it. He said, Jesus was God and man in one person, that God and man might be happy together again. That's what this means. God and man, happy together again. Our Savior. But he's not just a Savior. The good news also means that he is also our King. Our King, the Messiah. And that word Messiah means he's the everlasting King. He's the forever King. He is the King who is in charge of this chaotic world. And, you know, one of the problems at Christmas is that we always think of Jesus as the baby. But this, and you know, this baby never grows up. We always think of him as cute little baby Jesus. But you've got to see that this baby is actually the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know, the soccer player Messi might be known as the GOAT, greatest of all time. Ah, but I'm telling you, Jesus Christ, he's the real GOAT. He's the greatest of all time. That's Jesus. And it's good news. Again, it's good news that he is the King, because now there's someone who can run the mess that you've made of your life. Now there's someone who can give you meaning and purpose and fulfillment. Now there's someone who is bigger than you, much bigger than you, infinitely bigger than you, who is worthy of your worship, worthy of your adoration. Now you've got someone to live for. It's good news, do you see, that he is the King. But, you know, this good news, you know what else it means? It's for you. This is good news that is actually for you. This Jesus, he is for you. I want us just to enjoy those two words that we see there in this passage. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. Let's just enjoy those two words, to you. Originally, it's speaking to the shepherds, but it's to us as well. You know what those two words mean to you? It means that this child is a gift. He's for you. In fact, verse 10 actually says that this child will bring joy for all people. all people. Can you just grasp that for a minute? All people. See, Christmas joy is not just for the Aussies. Christmas joy is not just joy to the West. This joy is not just joy to the rich. This joy is not just joy to the educated. This joy is not just joy to the healthy, joy to the wealthy, joy to the people who were born into Christian homes and Christian families. No, this is joy to the world. This is universal joy. This is for you. Can you just point to yourself for a minute? Everyone point to yourself. This joy is for you. It's for you. It's for you. Whatever your age, whatever your background, whatever your the color of your skin, this joy is for you. This is joy to the world. This Jesus is for you. He's God's personal gift for you. You see, Christmas is all about taking and receiving a gift from God. This baby is a gift from everyone. You know, think of us like this. All of us are like excited kids in our pajamas on Christmas morning, and we're seated around the Christmas tree, and we've been given a gift by our Heavenly Father, a priceless gift, a precious gift, an unexpected gift. And we open this gift from our Heavenly Father who loves us, and what do we see? We see the gift of His own precious Son. Can you picture yourself in that situation? Now, what will you do with that gift? It's for you. What will you do with it? Will you turn your little nose up at it? Or will you say, oh, it's just what I need. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I need that. Could it be that you've decided that this gift is not for you? Maybe you've decided in your heart already, as I'm talking to you right now, maybe you've decided this gift is not for me. Maybe you've even decided that this Jesus, I think he's against me. You know, it could be that you're afraid of what it means if you accept this gift. It could be that you're afraid that if I accept this gift, I know I'm going to have to serve him, and I'm not sure I want to do that. But I'm telling you, that when you serve him, you'll discover where true joy is found when you give your life to him in service of him. Or maybe this morning it could be that you're angry at him because of some kind of pain that he's put you through. Maybe you're in a situation right now that you can't get out of. It could be grief. It could be some kind of pain. And you're just so angry at him. But, you know, you need to know that he actually cares about you more than you think he cares. And he cares about the situation and the hurt that you're feeling more than you care about it. This is the person of whom we read about, that he weeps with those who weep. That's our Jesus. And when he comes back, this king, he's going to make everything new. Oh, won't we look forward to that? And if you embrace this joy that I'm talking about this morning, you know, one day you'll be standing on the shores of heaven and you'll be looking back at the life that you had, the worst agony of 2022, it will just be a speck in comparison to what you have then, compared to where you are, the glory of heaven. Do you see, in the end, what is being offered to us is joy. This is joy for us. Joy for us. He rules the world with truth and grace. The king that died, he wasn't defeated by death. He rose victorious over the grave, and he reigns in glory now forever as king. And do you know, when we reach the end of Luke's biography of Jesus' life, after Jesus died and rose again, we read these words, Luke 24, verse 52. Then they, that's the disciples, worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Do you see what the first followers of Jesus had? They had great joy. Why? Well, their sins were forgiven, their name, they knew their name was written in heaven. They had the joy of having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. They knew that they had his love. Joy, joy, joy. Never-ending joy, everlasting joy. It was theirs. That, friends, is what is on offer to the whole world. That is on offer to the nations. That is what is on offer to you this morning. Joy to the world. You know, joy is one of those unique Christian affections that belongs to us. No one can take it away from us. This joy is, it's actually beyond words. It's actually hard to describe what I'm talking about this morning. It's tied to a deep, deep thankfulness that our Savior has actually rescued us from perishing. He's rescued us from hell. This joy runs deep to your soul. And if you haven't experienced it, it's hard to know what I'm talking about. But any follower of Jesus knows what I'm talking about. We might, you know, express it all differently, but it's all the same experience. It's a deep appreciation for what Jesus Christ has done for us. And whenever people understand who Jesus is, what he's done for them, we act just like those shepherds. We race off and we praise and we glorify God and we give him thanks. Do you have this joy this morning? Do you know what I'm talking about? It's for anyone who wants to unwrap the gift of Christmas. You know, there was no room for Jesus at the inn. I wonder if there's any room in your heart for him this morning. Are you prepared to make room in your heart for Jesus? In every heart, prepare him room. He doesn't just want part of your heart. He wants your whole heart. He wants it. He wants to rule your heart. Will you give it to him? I just want to finish by telling you there's another place in Luke's gospel where the angels burst into joy. You know, there was great singing and rejoicing when Jesus was born. Do you know there's another place when the angels rejoice? It's in Luke chapter 15, verse 10. We read these words. I tell you, says Jesus, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Don't you love that? I love that. That what the angels did at the birth of Jesus is what happens in the heavens when even just one sinner repents, when you and I decide to open up our hearts and surrender to King Jesus and make him our Savior and our King. He's Savior and King. He's Savior because he died in your place for your sin, and what you need to do is trust him. He's King because he rules us. And you need to submit to him, this Savior and King. He wants you. He wants to be in a relationship with you. He wants your heart. Will you give it to him? This is what you were built for. You were built for a relationship with this eternal King. And it can begin right now. It can begin right now on Christmas morning. Wouldn't that be a great day for it to begin? On this day. The day where we remember that there's something bigger to live for than ourselves. Wow. Why not make today the day when you fall into the arms of Jesus? And you know what? If you do, the angels will go off into party mode. So what I'm going to do as I finish is I'm actually going to pray a prayer. And I'm going to pray it slowly. And if you've never embraced this joy, and if you want this Jesus to be your Savior and King, you can pray this prayer in the quietness of your own heart right now. So I'm going to ask us all to close our eyes, and I'm going to lead us in a prayer. Dear God, today I want to say I'm sorry. I've been running away from you. Today I declare that Jesus is my King. Today I want to submit to him. Thank you that you sent Jesus to die in my place. Today I trust him as my Savior, the one who can rescue me from all of my sins. Please forgive me. My heart is now filled with joy because I know I can enter into a relationship with you, the living God. This is the best gift anyone has ever given me. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, if you prayed a prayer like that this morning, you know what's happened? You've moved from being someone who was lost to someone who is found. You've moved from being an enemy of God to a child of God. Heaven is now your home, and the angels are in party mode. Can you hear the champagne bottles popping? And if you prayed that prayer, why don't you let us know that you prayed that prayer so that we can help you as you journey on your new relationship with God. Have a joyous Christmas, everyone. Amen. We are going to sing again our next carol.